Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there as well, including finding out more about our good friend and our guest this half hour, Mr. Steve Del Bianco. He's the Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology, and as well as an organization called Net Choice Coalition. We're going to get him to tell us about that in a little bit, but he's our good friend, Steve Del Bianco. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Steve. You know, Steve, when Sheriff Andy went down to one of the stores there in Mayberry, and to buy something to get his hair cut or whatever, he might have seen a sign on the door that said "Gone Fishing." And in Mayberry, we all knew what that meant. But in the 21st century, if somebody's gone fishing, they might not be. It could mean something else, couldn't it?
I'm afraid so, and we should never be surprised when criminals decide to exploit the newest and greatest technology to try to defraud people. And decades ago, criminals tried to defraud people using telephone scams, where they would phone people and ask for their account information, a credit card number, or try to convince them to cut a check. And that's what gave rise to the kind of phishing you're talking about. In fact, they spell it the same way they do phone fraud. It's P-H-I-S. H-I-N-G, or phishing. That knocked back to the days when they used to telephone fraud, because those criminals have gone online. They've gone online to the Internet, where they get the reach and the anonymity and the speed of email to try to defraud people.
Well, and it's a mass distribution kind of thing, whereas on the phone it was one-on-one. Now they can use the ability of the leverage of email of the Internet to reach all these people. And I've gotten fished before, Steve. I don't know that, as far as I know, they haven't been successful, but I have received email before I knew what it was, before I knew, you know, even what the term phishing was on, in terms of being online, before I knew that that wasn't a problem. I saw an email, I've seen email come into my box, and I said, you know what, that's fraudulent.
Something about it smelled fishy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Steve, I do the jokes on this show, but the thing is you're exactly right. And because I knew, for example, that eBay wouldn't be asking me a question like this, or Microsoft wouldn't be asking me a question like this.
And let's tell your listeners what kind of questions those are. This is an email which addressed to you, and it typically will come from somebody like, to give the PayPal example, creditverifier@paypal.com. It'll come in and it'll ask you for a credit card number to verify or pay a balance. Or it'll ask you to reset your password and your account information. The email itself, they've gotten incredibly more sophisticated to where they actually contain logos of the companies they're trying to fake.
Right.
They actually contain URLs or website pages that look legitimate right in the email. But if you view the source code behind it, the link is going to someplace completely different than the www address shown in the link.
Now, let me ask you this question, Steve. Have we seen some that actually look like so-and-so at Microsoft.com? Do they show up like that? Or is it so-and-so.microsoft@so-and-so?
I think they will look like an email address, and it'll be at Microsoft.security.com.
There it is.
In other words, they'll pick a web address that looks legitimate but actually is not. It's something else they've used.
Right.
But the worst of it is when they use an email to redirect you to a web page, the actual email itself will show a web page which isn't the one that you would be redirected to.
Right.
They can actually fake it in the email. The key here is that legitimate companies, especially banks, would never ask you and I to reveal our account information or put a credit card number into an email. They all will tell you that, so don't fall for these phishing scams.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, Steve, this is the classic example of the people who fall for these things are the ones who are fairly new to the internet. They, you know, they've only had an email account for a few months or a year or so. They don't do a lot of traffic on the internet. They're not you know using it. They haven't become web savvy yet. And it was the same way, you know, when the viruses go out, you know, it's the same thing. They don't know that they're not supposed to click on the attachments, and these are the people who get hurt the worst, and probably the ones who can afford it the least.
And it's not just new users. Sometimes it's folks who are new to a certain application. Online banking, for instance, is up 30% in the first quarter over what it was the previous year. So an experienced email user who's an inexperienced online banker would be definitely lured into taking the bait when they see an email from a banking institution. Perhaps it's even the bank they use, because Citibank is one of the favorite
right.
targets of phishers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Citibank account holder, you just started banking online, here's an email that looks like it's from Citibank. It's got the Citibank logo in there, and they're asking you to reveal your account information to verify that your account is correct. That is a phishing scam. And if you received one of those, you'd count yourself among the 57 million Americans who've been baited like this so far.
Yeah.
The bad news is something like 10% of those 57 million have at least responded to the initial email. I hope that it's not that high of those who've been defrauded, but just responding to that first phishing bait starts the chain mm-hmm. where they try to defraud you and you know, perform an identity theft or hit your account up and take money out of your account. It's a serious crime, and when we get back in the next segment, I can talk to you some more about the kind of law enforcement efforts that we're advocating here in Washington.
Well, and the damage is significant. It's not only, as you guys pointed out in an article, Steve, and I'll get you to tell us where the audience where they can find this article, it not only hurts people with regard to losing their identity, their credit ratings, but it makes people not trust e-commerce. I mean, there are people listening to you and me right now who are saying, well, there's another reason I'm not on email, you know, and I'm not using email. And that's so unfortunate, isn't it?
The choice and convenience of using the Internet is something that once consumers get hooked on it, they don't want to go back. But the bad news is that phishing scams, spam, and spyware, that triple threat that is a crime that's moved online, has caused Americans to reduce or even get out of the use of email.
Steve, stand by. The website is netchoice.org, is that right?
That's right, www.netchoice.org.
You can find this article on phishing. It's very interesting, very important that you understand how this works. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Del Bianco.
I'm down to the crossroads, fell out of my knee.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve's a great friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he just always has such great information for us to help us to be smarter when we use technology, to help us to be safer and more productive online. And Steve, on behalf of my audience, I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for all you're doing to expose the issues of technology to your audience every couple of weeks. We really enjoy doing the show.
Thanks. Steve, people have, what is it? I think it's something like 44,000 people die every year in an automobile wreck. I think it's something like that, 40-something thousand. And yet we still drive. And the answer to it is drive defensively. Be a better driver. Make better decisions. Look both ways, et cetera. Obey the rules and watch for bad guys. You know, when we go to town at night, we don't walk around in the dark. We pay attention and stay in the light, and we watch our back, so to speak. We pay attention to things like this. You know, life can be dangerous, and life online has its pitfalls as well. And we don't need to avoid the online efficiencies and capabilities. We just need to look both ways and drive defensively, don't we?
It's true, Jim. And you mentioned earlier how new users are particularly vulnerable to virus attacks and to things like phishing. And it's partly because they're amazed at how easy and fun it is to use things like email and online shopping. And they get into that mode where they trust too much. trust everyone too much. The idea is to only open emails, only adhere to emails when you know it's from somebody that you trust. And in the case of an email that's asking you for information that you know you should not give online, if I telephoned you at home and asked you to reveal your credit card and account number information because I needed to verify it on your account, I certainly hope your listeners would say no way. They'd ask for a number to call back.
Right.
Somebody's insisting so that you can dial into that number and know that you're really speaking to somebody at the legitimate company.
No company that I do business with has ever called me or emailed me in my entire life and asked me to verify anything that they already had. It's never, ever happened. There's by mail, by email, or by phone.
There's no need for them ever to do that. And we talked earlier about the kind of impact it could have on consumer confidence. Well, email users, according to a survey by Pew, are reducing or cutting back completely on their email use. 25% of email users surveyed said that the online scourges of spam, spyware, and phishing have caused them to cut back or stop using email.
Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible implication for businesses going online and for consumers who could end up shutting themselves out of the convenience and choice of using the Internet.
Well, Steve, what's next? What are some things that we need to be doing, and what are some things that are being done to curb the scourge of phishing?
As usual, Jim, it starts with enforcing the laws we already have. As you might suspect, if I defrauded you and took information from you over the telephone or email and gutted your bank account, well, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's already a crime.
Right.
The good news is that for the last decade, Congress has consistently strengthened the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act to make sure that these crimes were criminal crimes and subject to criminal penalties, not just civil. In July of this year, the President signed the Identity Theft Penalty Enhancement Act, which adds 2 more years to a prison term for a criminal who's convicted of using stolen credit card numbers and other personal data.
Mm-hmm.
But these kinds of criminal penalties, Jim, they go after criminals who've actually been successful at their phishing and defraud.
Right.
What about the criminals who are simply throwing out the line, out the lure,
mm-hmm.
time after time, trying to defraud consumers? Well, it turns out that doesn't rise to a criminal offense, and it should.
You mean trying to defraud me isn't criminal?
No, it's simply unfair and deceptive trade practices.
I didn't know that.
What we're seeing now is that there's a bill in Congress by Senator Leahy, which would make it a crime to use a fake seal, to use a fake logo,
yeah.
and to try to defraud people. And to
I'm assuming you support that.
Absolutely, Jim. But it even doesn't go far enough, because that treats today's fishermen to really go after tomorrow. We've got to realize that consumers and businesses are turning more and more to encryption technologies and digital seals to ensure that when they receive an email from somebody that they are who they say
right.
they are. Well, criminals are smart enough to try to fake those seals as
mm-hmm.
well, or to invent seal programs which are actually not rigorously adhered to.
But can't we just tell folks, look, just don't give anybody that information. On in an email.
Yeah, and we tell people to wear their seatbelts and to look both
That's
ways.
Right.
I'll tell you what, we have to make examples out of certain people. And the good news is there have been some very high-profile mm-hmm. criminal trials that have gone on, and people have been sent away for online fraud. We need to make sure that no criminal attempts this casually. It's going to have to be the serious, hardened criminals, and we're going to have to know how to deal with them when we catch them.
Folks, use the Internet, use email, just be smart the way you use your automobile so that you don't get hurt in your automobile or walking across the street, you know, only cross on the light. And, you know, it's the same kind of caution and thought process that you use when you live your ordinary life. Steve, we're going to have to wrap it up. I need you to give us your website one more time, please.
Jim, it's www.netchoice.org.
That's
where this particular paper is on phishing. But we're also at www.actonline.org.
Check out both of those, folks. They're good. They're good sites. And don't forget to check out. It's called Web Criminals Go Phishing with Phony Bait and No License. That's the article by Steve DelBianco. Thanks, Steve. See you next time.
Bye, Jim.
Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Floyd Hurt. Don't forget to buckle those seatbelts. Floyd Hurt is in the building. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.